Well, it's good to be with you again. Really is. I was preaching last week, the lady asked if I had come to afflict them again. not purposefully. I remind you, where good preaching is afflicting the comfortable and comforting the afflicted, right? So I hope that I can do that this day. It's a difficult sermon this morning, and I don't know how much encouragement is found in it, but I hope there is some encouragement found in it, because good preaching is always encouraging preaching to the saints and a challenge, O Lord, for sinners to come to repentance and faith in Christ. But on the last day of the spring legislative session, the Wynne government passed an ominous bill 89, and I'm sure some of you have heard of this. Bill 89 states that if a child decides that he, she is a gender other than his, her biological sex, the parents are required by this legislation to provide transgender medical services or risk the child being removed from the home. Now, we know that, of course, if there is a physical problem in the child that is not attended to, then the parents are culpable and the child could be removed from the home. But this has nothing to do with the physical nature of the child. This has everything to do with the gender, plan or purposes of the transgender movement. This is not even medical. It is not even scientific. It is false medicine. Now, this piece of legislation is the most invasive, draconian, totalitarian legislation ever passed in the history of our nation. So, happy 150th, Canada. Say goodbye to the rights of the biological parents to train up the children in the way they should go due to a piece of legislation that would be the pride of any fascist or communist totalitarian regime. The feminist transgender bully gals and boys have successfully commandeered our universities, legislatures, courts, our daycares, and our elementary schools. And while we slept, they have gained control of our lives from crib to the coffin, and we are now governed by anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-Scripture aliens who literally hate the God of the Bible and those who seek to serve Him. It used to be that when one heard of that happy event, a child was born, the first question was, is it a boy or a girl? Isn't that the first question? The men would go home and tell their wives, and they say, "Well, what is it? It's a boy, and how much did it weigh?" Well, that's as far as the men got. the gender after that, the ladies were interested in the birth and such things, the weight and so on. But today the question is considered naive. Thanks to the transgender cult, it is a cult. The child may have all the features of a boy or a girl, but its true gender awaits upon the child as to what gender it wants to be identified with. And it's not a matter now of chromosomes, XX, XY, or genitalia, but how a person wants to identify themselves. An amazing thing, isn't it, that we live in a world in which we see all of these technology, which bring us into a fantasy world. We now think that we can reconstruct God's creation by our own desire. Birth certificates, we're told, will no longer have, will have a third option, boy, girl, or other, or all the letters in the alphabet, perhaps. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, asexual. I don't know what intersex is. Don't ask. And not yet, is that what it is? Not yet But I believe there will be a pedophilia, polygamy, polyander, on and on it goes. Every possible depravity is now possible in Canada. This is folly in the highest degree. This is the end consequence of man's drift from God, the raised fist against heaven. Here is how I feel today. I use the word feel or think today about where we are in society. That one night I went to bed, and then I woke up the next morning, and I was in the cartoon Looney Tunes, not watching, but on the screen. This is a quote from the philosopher C.S. Lewis. He wrote, "The Christian and the materialist hold different beliefs about the universe. They can't be both right." Underline that. They can't be both right. He goes on to say, "The one who is wrong will act in a way that doesn't fit in the universe." What is a materialist? Well, a materialist is a person who does not believe that God created Adam from the dust of the ground. In fact, the materialist doesn't believe God created dust. But which worldview fits reality of the universe according to the life as we observe it and as we live it daily? That a male is a male and a female is a female, and it better be if the human species is to survive. You see, you can jump out of the window, but gravity still has the final say. Which worldview is more realistic? That you can jump out of your own skin at your own whim and fancy? And if that fits with the universe as we know it, why does one need hormonal enhancements, the best surgeons paid by 98% of the straight citizens to make what never was and never will be? In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, God tells us, "So God created man in his own likeness. In the likeness of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." You notice the repeating masculine emphasis: created man, he created him, he created them, male and female. Male headship, ordained by God in creation. Nothing here of a she God. He created them. God is, if you like, asexual, neither male or female, but in his creation of Adam from the dust of the ground, there is ordained and purposed a masculinity. That masculinity includes male and female. The Apostle Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians 7:17, wrote this: "Nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life to which God has called him. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches." God has called you to be female, then remain in the life that God has called you. Do not long to be masculine. God has called you to be male, masculine, then remain in the life to which God has called you. We see in verse 24, "Brothers, each man as responsible to God, should remain in the situation God called him to. It's an inclusio. What we mean by inclusio, brackets. It begins, remain where you are, and it ends, remain where you are. This is God's rule in all the churches, to remain in the place where you were called. Conversion changes everything within, but not necessarily everything without. Were you married when you were converted? Then don't seek divorce. Were you a slave when you were converted? Then remain as you were in that vocation, unless the Apostle Paul says you have opportunity to be made free. Notice what the Apostle Paul says. Don't rebel. Don't raise your fist. He says, bear testimony as a slave, that is, when converted, bear witness to the conversion, to your master, and where you find yourself. Remain where you were called. Bear witness in whatever circumstances to the saving power of God, and that, as the Apostle Paul instructed this morning, this world is passing away. The world that we have put our faith and trust in is coming. Paul was addressing one's position in life. But if Paul lived today, apart from his shock at the very idea of a change in gender, the text would apply. Paul tells us the true way to treat our bodies, and that is, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is how we're to treat our bodies. We give our bodies to the Lord Jesus Christ as living sacrifices to be used by the Lord Jesus Christ for whatever purposes he's designed in our conversion, that it be holy and it be pleasing to God, because this is your spiritual act of worship. You have come to worship this morning, and it's a spiritual act of worship, but also on a daily basis, you remind yourself, young people, my body belongs to the Lord. To think that our mortal bodies, rightly and purely used, are pleasing to God. Are you by sex a woman? Then thank God and enhance your femininity and rejoice in it. Are you by sex a man? Enhance your masculinity and rejoice in it. Remember, having put your faith in Christ Jesus, the day will come when there is no male or female, but we shall be like the angels in glory. As we deal with the myths of the gender-bending lobby, two words are at the root of all of this: sex and gender. In happier times, sex referred to what it means to be a man or a woman, male or female. It had a secondary meaning, the act itself. But the primary meaning was what it means to be a male or a female. Of what sex, masculine, feminine. While gender applied to grammar pronouns, and boy, are they ever being abused today. Applied to grammar pronouns we use in our language as in masculine, feminine, or neuter. And I've always thanked God for the English language that it has a neuter. It seems to me a much simpler way of speaking than in the French trying to find the feminine or the masculine. But nevertheless, we see these things as grammar pronouns. Today, gender is used to describe what we think we are or wish to be identified as. That's a huge change from pronoun to what we think we are. That is, he, she, may be one sex physically, but identify with the other sex mentally. This is what we are told today. So he may have the body of a man, but the brain of a woman. Transgender then means to cross over, to have the characteristics of a man, but deliberately dress, speak, and seek to act like a woman. And there is a cringe factor there. In order to achieve this desired end, they seek medical services to achieve a closer proximity to the gender they desire, which includes puberty blockers, toxic sex hormones, mutilating sex reassignment surgery, and the results are not pretty. The underlying theory goes like this. Why do boys behave like boys and girls like girls? The answer is socialization. We parents raise boys like boys because we think that that's what we should do, or that's the way we've been raised, so we give them cars and trucks. And then girls like to be girls, and so we raise them as girls and we give them dolls and girl houses. Presto, we get what the parents raised them to be, socialization. Thus, if you raised a girl as you would raise a boy, the girl would be a boy, except have the body of a girl. It's all a matter of one's psychological viewpoint. Raised as a boy, the girl becomes a boy. Despite the fact that this idiocy has been exposed as a fraud time and time again, I had asked myself, where did these ideas come from? They come from university and from the philosophy or sociology of our time, but I'm not so convinced. I believe these ideas are satanic. They're from the depths of hell. They're demonic. They are a lie practiced upon the innocent and the gullible. And there are gullible parents refusing to announce the biological, obvious sex of their offspring, leaving it to the child to decide what gender it wants to be. In 1950, Dr. John Money, psychiatrist and surgeon at the Johns Hopkins Hospital, performing sex change surgery on children, mutilating them, claiming they could be socialized to be girls and live their lives as happy females. In the late 70s, Dr. Kello Pinto did a follow-up on those boys who had been so mutilated by this so-called doctor, and he followed their adult lives and found that despite the mutilation and socialization, all considered themselves as men and wanted to be known as men. And listen to this horror, that despite the fact that the surgeon who followed Money, Dr. Paul McHugh, canceled all such surgery as doing no service to those undergoing the procedure, hospitals continue in America, Canada, to continue the procedure. The American Academy of Pediatrics published a recent study, and this is what they said, in the experimental psychology issue, that the skills necessary to cross the road are not present in a child until they are 14 years old. Till then, a mother must hold the little darling's hands at the corner and lead them across. The same article stated, this is the lunacy, that children are cognitively competent, not to cross the street, but to decide they are the wrong sex. They can't get across the road, but, quoting the article, the president said, there appears to be no harm and possible benefit from parent-sponsored early transitions consenting to puberty blockers, sex hormones, sex reassignment surgery for children as young as 3 and 4. That's a quote. And our government and our legislators swallow it whole. Despite study after study that has, as we have the ability now, map out thousands of genes, and from 53 tissues that are similar in males and females, such as skin, muscle, and brain, the study uncovered 1,559 genetic differences between males and females that relate not only to the sexual organs, but to other organs as well, brain, skin, and heart. Long live the difference. It's not a matter of just a sexual surgery. Dr. Paul McHugh, who halted the mutilating sex reassignment at Johns Hopkins, wrote, "The emperor has no clothes." An article entitled "Transgenderism, a pathogenic mime." Pathogenic simply means disease, a blight, destructive. He wrote, "The emperor has no clothes." You remember the story of the emperor who was told that, Hans Christian story, the emperor was told these two tailors were making him the finest garments that he could ever imagine. And he went every day to the loom to see how he was doing, and they gushed over the loom and told him how it was coming to pass in the great day when he was supposed to wear them, but he kept thinking to himself, but there's nothing here. But nevertheless, he paraded himself through the town, and they said it's a beautiful thing, and nobody wanted to say anything to him about the fact that he looked bare naked, until as he paraded down the street, a little boy shouted, "The emperor has no clothes!" I heard the other day of a young lady. She was asked that she was in a classroom. She was asked, "Why don't you speak up? What is the problem that the class is not speaking up?" She said, "We're all afraid. What are you afraid of? That we'll be singled out as different. Get some backbone." McHugh said, "Transgendered men do not become women, nor women men. Rather, they become feminized men and masculinized women, impersonators," he said, "of the sex with which they identify." Jenner, the athlete in the Olympics, and how he made himself from a man into a woman, is simply an impersonator. And the interesting thing is that between feminists now and transgenderism, there's a huge debate going on, because the many feminists say these men simply are, as they put it, impersonators. It's still male privilege. And transgenderism and its lobby. And where is this lobby coming from? Out of 1% of a community? Transgenderism are angered at the feminists now, the radical feminists. McHugh says that the Swedish studies, they're always supporter of the pathogenic, aren't they? Dr. Hugh writes, "When the tumult dies down," and that's the thing, isn't it? When someone in high school or someone in grade school, he's made a big fuss over because he now wants to be a girl, when all the tumult dies down, it proves not easy to live a counterfeit garb. Studies in Sweden show lifelong mental unrest. 10 to 15 years after reassignment surgery, the suicide rate is 20 times higher than that of comparable peers. And you know how they cover this up? They cover this up by saying that they've been bullied. They're bullied by people like myself. And because they've been bullied, they commit suicide. That's not the case. They're living a life of the lie, and as they live the life of the lie, they can't take it anymore. It's what C.S. Lewis said, either Christians or materialists. One or the other worldview is wrong. The wrong one lives in a world that does not fit, like forcing a square peg into a round hole. Who lived most comfortable? Despite sin and evil that has marred all of God's creation and everything in life, God's gift of sexuality that has male and female lived the most comfortable. But families live the most comfortable. Are not those who pattern their life after Christ and loving God and loving their neighbor and defending the right and opposing the wrong? Who lives most comfortable? To live in a world with a wrong view of how God created the world is like jumping, as I said, off the cliff and experiencing gravity when you thought that you could fly. For individuals and society, it is catastrophic. That's what I speak about it this morning. For our children, it's absolutely horrendous. Imagine a little fellow goes to school and he's watching the other guys, the other boys, and they're playing soccer. And he's a little slender and he's a little weaker than the other boys, and he's down a little bit. And the teacher comes along, sits beside him, and says, "Johnny, what's wrong? Why don't you play?" "Well, I just get out there and I get knocked over." "Well, Johnny, have you ever considered that maybe you'd be more comfortable as a girl?" "No." And then he goes home and he says to Dad, "The teacher thought that I might be more comfortable if I was a girl." "What?" He goes back to school and says his dad's really upset about it. The teacher goes to the Children's Aid Society, and the Children's Aid Society get involved, and the police get involved, and the little boy is taken out. So that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, but it's plausible. What happens if the teacher takes another little tack and goes something like this? Sits down by little Johnny, says, "Why don't you play with the boys while they knock me over," and so on and so. Johnny, you have to understand, we're not all equal. We're not always gifted in different ways. But there's other kinds of sports. There's sports where you can do it individually. You can ride the bike. You can do cross country. And you know, Johnny, someday you maybe grow up to be a scientist, and these other fellows will be working at a factory. We don't know, Johnny. You said you're living in the real world then. Gender dysphoria. Dysphoria is a chronic feeling of illness. Gender, that's what it is, a chronic feeling of illness. Hey, I'm just not the right gender here. And it comes from the way society and young people are being taught. Well, maybe this is, Dr. Hugh writes that dysphoria belongs to the family of disordered assumptions, such as anorexia. And then he adds, you would not treat it with liposuction. Treatment should strive to correct the false problematic nature of the assumption and to resolve the psychosocial conflicts provoking it. But not so it is promoted as a great thing. Doctors who go with the flow and try to treat the disordered assumption by assuming it is real and natural are like putting a fox in the hen house. In Gender Queer, Ricky Williams claims, gender is the new frontier. The place to rebel, to create new individuality and uniqueness, to defy old, tired, outdated social norms. It's always old, tired, and outdated. It doesn't matter how old it is it true? The test is not, it's tired, is it true? We're sharing that in Sunday school this morning. Well, you believe in this and I believe in that. No, it's true. Jesus Christ is the only way to glory. You must repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Because it's true. Not just because I believe it, it's true. He says, this fellow goes on to say, this Ricky, outdated social norms. And yes, occasionally drive their parents and sundry other authorities crazy. What, this is a joke? As the families are torn down? As we pass one milestone after another the pit, where did these ideas come from? Do they not arise from the pit of hell itself, from Satan's throne, from a death wish on part of the West to bully and blame the West by claiming persecution when one is only hitting their own head against a brick wall? Is this the end of the world? Is Satan finally being loosed from the spiritual chain that has bound him for this past 2,000 years that the gospel might advance into all the world? Is he gathering the forces of Gog and Magog in his final attempt to wipe Christianity and the name of Jesus Christ from the world? Is Christ coming close now? I begin to wonder. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. But whether it's the end of the world, it's the end of the West. It's the end of the blessings that they have experienced through the gospel. Mark this, the Apostle Paul says. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of money, lovers of themselves. I saw a lady go by me. She had the camera like this. There's a little pole, and she's walking like this. No, seriously. We used to take pictures of other people. But anyway, lovers of themselves, boastful, proud, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Brothers and sisters, this sounds anything like we see today. It's close. I wake up one morning, listen to the news, and the news says that it's June the 1st, and it's Gay Pride Month. A month now. A month. It used to be a day. Now it's a week, and now it's a month. And what are we proud about? What is there to boast about? Please tell me, why are you proud to parade yourself like that in front of others? It's exactly what the Apostle Paul says. They not only do these things, he says, but they encourage others to follow them in their actions and in their acts. I can see a military parade where men have gone off and fought for our safety and for our freedom and for our protection, and many died and many returned wounded. I can see being proud in that, but I can't see being proud and placing your sexuality in the front of others, and it grows sexuality indeed. Where's the church this day? Well, you see, I came to church this morning, Pastor, and this is Father's Day, and I was really thinking of a nice sermon about fathers. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you, you're 40 years behind the times. Really. You used to be able to come to church and be assured that in society, even if you weren't a Christian, there was a certain sense that there was mother and father. And I know sometimes there can't be mother and father. And I know sometimes the widow and so on and so forth. But generally speaking, there's mom and father and the children. And mom and father are working together to raise the children and inculcate the Christian faith into their heart and into their lives. Or at least maintain this blessing of family that God has given. Today it's all gone. It's all gone. Now it's time for us to rise up and defend our children. If I said to you, And someone might say, well, this, let people do what they want. Well, I'm fine with that. If you want to parade yourself down the street, but excuse me, I'm in the world too. I got to look at that. Well, sorry, let people do what they want. Okay, then why do you pass a law saying you can have my biological grandchildren? If the parent dare suggest, son, this is abnormal? Well, it's more than that, but it's abnormal. And you hand them over to counselors who counsel a sexual reaffirmation, if you like. And they give them blockers, puberty blockers, and then they practice mutilation. And what are we supposed to say when our legislators leave the legislation proud of themselves? Every one of us should phone the local legislator and say, listen, I will not vote for this or for you. I got excited. I grieve. Just quickly, a fellow pastor was telling me that his church was discussing a proposed church constitution. And one of the clauses in the church constitution was that male-only eldership. And that's biblical. You can look it up, 1 Timothy 2:11 and 17. And a male member spoke up and said, I don't care what the Bible says. Women are equal to men. Now, should his statement not cause church discipline? It is not, I would like to be taught more clearly about what the Bible says on the role of men and women. But I don't care what the Bible teaches about male headship. I march to my own drummer. You see where the church is at this morning in many instances? 1 Corinthians 5 and 13. God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. On the contrary, the weapons we fight with have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Every thought and make it obedient. You know, it's a common myth today to say that all are created equal, to claim you can achieve whatever you want to achieve. Friends, that's in God's hands. Yes, yes, be ambitious. Yes, do well in school. Yes, seek, if you think called to a certain, to achieve it and do your very best in it. But listen, there are many things in life that may hold you back. Be content where you are. Yes, men and women are equal before God. Both are saved by grace and are under the blood. And both have access to the throne room of Jesus Christ. And both are loved by the adopting Father. And they have the same destiny. But we're not all equal in the same way, in the sense of the parable of the talents told by our Lord and Savior. We all have different gifts. We all have different IQs. We all have different roles. So let us be content where God has called us, as Paul insists. There are women smarter than me. There are women that can communicate better than me. My wife is way smarter than me. But listen, listen. In God's eternal wisdom, the role of the preacher is given to the man, not the woman, for good and solid reasons, that I may know nothing of, but primarily because God created masculine nature for certain tasks and the female nature for just as glorious other tasks. We've all heard of Isis, haven't we? And we have all shrank back at the horror of the wickedness and the evil that is practiced. The crucifixions and the beheading and the rape. It's barbarism. Barbarism. And these ISIS members, what they do to civilization and destroy ancient documents, things that are now lost forever in history. Barbaric. But listen, there's something else that's barbaric. Those who attack the family. Something else that is barbaric. To take our children and mutilate them. Something else that is barbaric is to destroy the Christian culture upon which the West has been built and seek to obliterate the blessings that has bestowed upon our nations. But mark this, there are terrible times in the last day. I close. The idea that sex is fluid and a matter of open to choice runs unquestioned through our culture and is reflecting everywhere in the media, the theater, TV, classrooms, and medical centers. It has taken cult-like features, its own lingo, internet chat rooms, providing slick answers to new recruits, and clubs for easy access to a dress, for dresses and styles supporting the sex change. It's doing incalculable damage to families, adolescents, children, and should be confronted as an opinion without biological foundation wherever it is found. Dr. McHugh says, but he says, gird up your loins. If you would confront this matter, hell has no fury like a vested interest masquerading as a moral principle. It has no fury masquerading as a moral principle. As righteousness, as uprightness, as being on the right side of history. I tell you, it is on the wrong side of history. And the end, when our Lord Jesus comes, will prove it to be so. So I leave you with a verse, and it is found in Psalm 75 and 8, and I left it with you before, in the hand of the Lord is a cup. Is full of foaming wine mixed with spices. He pours it out, and all the wicked of the earth will drink it and drink it down to its very dregs. Oh, when I was a little boy, the one thing I hated was medication. And my mother had come along with that spoon. My mother had come along with that cup, and she had pressed it to my lips, and she had a way of opening my jaws when they didn't want to be opened. And she had poured down my throat. And I would gag, and I would cough, and I would squirm. And then once it was poured down, I had every intention of spitting it up again, except my mother said, don't you dare. Let me tell you, God has a way of opening the jaws of a sinner. If they do not repent, and if they do not believe in Jesus Christ, and he'll pour down that cup of wrath, mixed the drink, and they will drink it. And they will drink it to its very dregs. And we can thank God this morning that that cup we would also drink If it were not the grace of God that pointed us to His Son, Jesus Christ, who on the cross drank the cup for us. And He drank the wrath of God, His Father. And He drank it to its very dregs. So that there's nothing left over for you and I who put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We're to love our enemies. We're to grieve for the transgenders who have followed the lie. For the homosexual and the lesbian. But I plead with fathers this morning. Be fathers. Be men. Be masculine. Go out and do your job and do it right and do it properly. And if you have sons, then teach them to be masculine. And if you have daughters, along with your wife, teach them to be feminine. Teach them to be real men and real women. Honest, trustworthy, loyal. Teach them to be willing to take on responsibility, to love others and to serve others. That's our responsibility. And be prepared, as we leave this morning, to be persecuted in school and a knock on the door because you will not follow legislation that is a lie. Legislation that is from the pit of hell. Legislation that is contrary to that which is clearly taught in the Word of God. That in the beginning, He created the male and female. He didn't create them to be flexible and transgender. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, our Heavenly Father, there's so much to talk about, there's so much to share, but our God and Father, we bow before You. Our heart is broken for our nation. The family unit is under attack. Our children are under attack. Those who profess their masculinity and femininity are under attack. Where we ought to have college, where there's freedom of speech, there are students who are afraid to talk, afraid to speak. Violence, oh God, is in the street, and barbarism. We recognize, oh God, that there are those, oh Lord, who want to tear down the family, want to tear down marriage, want to, oh Lord, disrupt family life. But they will not succeed because, God, they're fighting against reality. They're fighting against the way, oh God, You have made us. They're fighting away against, oh God, the masculinity and the femininity, oh God. So that together we're not opposed to one another as masculine, feminine, but rather we're true yoke fellows working together for the well-being of our children, for the well-being of society, but mostly, oh Lord, for us Christians, the advance also of Your kingdom throughout the world. We pray for these transgender people. We pray for those who'll be parading in the streets, O God. We pray that many of them might be snatched like brands from the burning. We pray, O God, that in some way before the year is out, they might hear the gospel message instead of protesting, O God, that You would greatly humble them and break them and bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ and transform them. Bringing them, O God, out of the darkness into the light. And, O God, renewing the sexuality in which they were born. Bless our families, Lord, and protect us. But may we be bold, we pray, in this day that we will, O God, stand firm. And we will stand upon the Word of God. And whatever persecution comes to us and to our families, we will not bend as our forefathers before, whether it be the stake, whether it be the dungeon, whether it be the whip, whether it be the cross, we will bear it without shame before You, O Lord. Come quickly, Jesus, end the night of wrong. But should You delay, may we be faithful. Amen.